I'm going to do something this morning that I rarely do. I'm going to preach to myself. I just want you to listen. What I'm going to preach about this morning has been on my heart all week. I've thought about it every day. I've been thinking about God's mercy this week. I'm glad for God's mercy. Now we sang about grace, wonderful grace of Jesus, that first song. There's a difference between mercy and grace. The easiest way I have found to remember is that mercy is not getting what I deserve. Grace is getting something I don't deserve. And so this morning, I want to concentrate on God's mercy. And I want to tell you that I am glad for the mercy of God. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22, we read this verse a moment ago. It says, It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. It's because of God's mercy that we're not consumed or destroyed. That's what I deserve. You see, I'm a sinner. The wages of sin is death. I deserve to be consumed by the wrath of God. There are times when I look at my life and I say, well, I'm not such a bad person. I'm not such a bad sinner. And when I do that, God always reminds me, he says, hey, look, you can always find a person whose life is lived worse than yours are, but that's not who I want you to compare yourself to. I want you to compare yourself to my glory. I want you to compare yourself to my son. I want you to compare yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. That verse in Romans that says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, what it says is, for all have sinned and have not measured up to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when I compare myself to somebody else, I might be able to find a worse sinner than I am. I know a couple of this church, I won't mention any names, but I can find them. And you shouldn't think of their names either. But I could find a worse sinner than I am, and I might feel pretty good. But God says, hey, don't do that. You compare yourself to Jesus Christ, and then you'll know how far short you come. Then you'll realize that you are a sinner. And because I'm a sinner, I'm under the penalty of sin, which is death, to be separated from God, to be consumed. And by the way, I would rather be consumed and cease to exist than live without God in my life. But it's because of his mercies that we are not consumed. It's are always good. The Bible says, his compassions, they fail not. You know, things that man makes, they fail. They break. They don't work the way they're supposed to. If you don't believe that, just buy yourself a computer. I made a discovery this week. I hesitate to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I have discovered that this week that my computer is a female. I have. Because she has a mind of her own. There are many times as I am sitting there interacting with her that I have no idea what she's doing and why she is doing it. Man-made things fail, but not God's mercies, not his compassions. They fail not. Verse 23 is one of the greatest verses in the Bible for sinners. It says, they are new every morning. God's mercies are new every morning. At night, when I'm asleep, God refills my mercy account, and I start each day with a new supply of mercy. And I got to thinking about this. His mercy is better than the manna that he sent the Israelites as they were on their way to the promised land. Because he sent manna 6 days a week. I mean, he sent it Sunday, he sent it Monday, he sent it Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Saturday was their Sabbath. They were to honor the Sabbath. And so God did not send manna on Saturday, the Sabbath. He sent a double portion, a double supply on Friday. Now, there were probably some Israelites that when they went out and got the double portion on Friday, they ate it all on Friday. I know, in my case, and I'm preaching to myself this morning, that if God sent his mercy that same way, if he only sent it 6 days a week and sent a double portion for the day that he didn't send it, I'd be the kind of person that would use up that double portion that day that he sent it, and I wouldn't have any left over for the next day. So I'm glad that verse doesn't say they are new 6 days a week or they are new 5 days a week. I'm glad that that verse says the mercies of God are new every morning. Every morning. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. 365 days a year. We get a new supply of God's mercy every single morning. Praise God. Praise God. So as I was thinking about God's mercy this week, I thought about the Apostle Peter. If there was ever anyone that exemplified why we need mercy from God every day, it was the Apostle Peter. He was one of the first disciples that Jesus called, and his call was miraculous. You remember, Peter was a fisherman. The Bible says he went out and fished all night and caught nothing. The next day, he was on the shore washing out his nets, and Jesus was preaching near the shore, and the crowd was pressing in on him. And Jesus said, Peter, hey, can I use your boat as a pulpit? And he got in Peter's boat, and they launched out a little bit, and Jesus preached and taught from the deck of Peter's boat. When he got done fishing, when he got done preaching, he said to Peter, hey, let's go fishing. Let's cast out and see if we can catch some fish. Now, I'm sure Peter wanted to say, hey, you're a carpenter. You don't know nothing about fishing. Fishermen know that fish don't bite in the middle of the day. And besides that, we fished all night last night and didn't catch nothing. But instead of saying what he wanted to say, he said this, at your word, because you've asked me, I'll take you out. We'll go fishing. You remember the story as well as I do. Peter got out there. They threw the net over the side of the boat. And it got heavy real fast. They started pulling it in and the net started breaking. Peter's partners, James and John, and I don't know if his brother Andrew was in the boat with them, probably were if they were fishing, but his partners, James and John, were on the shore, and Peter called, hey, you guys, get out here! And James and John brought their boat out, and they started pulling up that net together, and they started putting the fish in the boat, and the Bible says that the boats began to sink. Now, I know there's some pretty good fishermen in this church. I know because you've told me your fish stories. And I've heard some good ones. But I've never had anybody tell me, hey, we caught so many fish that the boats began to sink. But that's what happened that day. Peter looked at what happened. He had fished all night and caught nothing. He looked at the great draught of fish they caught that day. And he fell to his knees and he said to Jesus, depart from me. For I am a sinful man. And it was just a few days later that Jesus approached Peter and said, Peter, follow me. I want you to quit fishing for fish. I'm going to make you a fisher of men. I want you to follow me. Peter left, Peter and Andrew, brothers, they left the family fishing business. James and John left the family fishing business. They became disciples of Jesus Christ. They became fishers of men. With James and John, Peter became one of the inner circle of the disciples. He became the spokesman for the 12. One time when Jesus asked him, who do you think that I am? Peter stood for the group and said, thou art the Christ, thou art the Messiah, the Son of the living God. But Peter failed. He failed big time. The night of Jesus' trial, the night before he was crucified, Peter denied that he even knew Christ 3 different times. Jesus had warned Peter this was going to happen. He said, Peter, before the cock crows 3 times, you're going to deny me thrice. You're going to deny me three times. And Peter said, oh, no, not me. Not me. All these other guys pointing at the other 10 or 11 disciples. I don't know if Judas was still in the room or not. I can't remember. But he said, all these other guys may deny you, but not me. I'll go with you anywhere. I'm willing to die with you if that's what it takes. I'm willing to die with you. And that night, before the cock crowed in the morning, Peter had denied and said three times, I don't know him. I'm not one of his disciples. I don't even know him. The Bible says that the third time that he said that, Jesus looked at him and Peter went out and wept bitterly. The moment that Jesus needed him the most, the moment that Jesus needed his disciples to stand by him and to stand up for him, they all fled, the Bible says. And Peter, the leader of the disciples, and I know Jesus was the leader, but the spokesman for the disciples, one of the inner circle, stood and did not confess his master before men. Instead, he denied that he even knew him. He thought his work as a disciple was over. He thought, there's no way that Jesus is ever going to use me again. A few days later, Peter said, I'm going fishing. I don't think it was a one-day excursion to get his mind off his troubles. I think what Peter was saying is, I've messed up so bad, I don't think God can ever use me again. I'm going to go back to my old way of life. I'm going to go back and be a fisher for fish instead of a fisher for men. Because God will never use me again. I messed up. I can't. He'll never use me again. And so Peter went fishing. Bible says he took six other disciples with him. And by the way, it's not part of my message, but I'll just tell you this anyway. When you backslide, you always take somebody with you. Always take somebody with you. Maybe a member of your family, maybe a friend, maybe just an acquaintance. But when you slide away from God, when you get away from God, when you walk away from his will, you always affect somebody else. And so the story is told in the book of John. These seven disciples fished all night, and they caught nothing. They caught nothing. In the morning, a man stood on the shore. He cried out to them, "Children, have you any meat?" What he was saying is, "Hey, have you caught any fish?" The answer came back, "No, we fished all night. We haven't caught anything." And this man on the shore, who they did not recognize at this point, said, "Hey, cast your net on the right side of the ship." I can see Peter. Who does this guy think he is? I mean, four of us out here, we've been fishing all our life. We know that it doesn't make any difference what side of the boat you cast your net on. If the fish are biting, they're biting. If they're not, they're not. But they did it. They cast the net on the right side of the ship. And again, the net became so heavy that they couldn't pull it up. Later on, they counted the fish, and there was 153 fish in that net. You see, the first time it happened, before Jesus called Peter, Peter thought that Jesus was a carpenter, not a fisherman, and didn't know anything about fish. He should have known the second time that Jesus was the one that created every fish that swam in the lakes and the oceans and the rivers, and they were all under the command of the Master. And so Jesus said, cast your net on the right side. They did. They pulled up so many fish. And when the Apostle John saw it, he said to Peter, Peter, it's the Lord. It's our Master. It's Jesus. They came in. Jesus had fixed some breakfast. They ate breakfast. And Jesus and Peter had a conversation on the shore of the lake. Jesus asked Peter, he said, Peter, do you love me more than these? I don't think he was talking about the other 11 disciples. He wasn't asking Peter, hey, do you love me more than John does? Do you love me more than James does? Do you love me more than Andrew does? No, I think he was pointing at the boat. I think he was pointing at the net. I think he was pointing at the pile of fish that was there on the side. He was saying, Peter, do you love me more than these? And Peter said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Then Jesus said, feed my lambs. What Jesus was saying is, why'd you go back fishing? I want you to get back to work. I called you to be a fisher of men. I'm sure Peter thought right then, he said, yeah, but Lord, you know what I did? You know how I denied you? You know how I had the opportunity to stand for you at the moment that you needed me most. And I said, you didn't. I said, I didn't even know you. And what Jesus was saying when he asked Peter the question, do you love me? And hearing Peter's response, yes, he said, go feed my sheep. He was saying, hey, Peter, I gave you a new batch of mercy today. I'm not going to give you what you deserve. I'm going to forgive you. I want you to get back to work. Jesus asked him the second time. And I know some Bible scholars said that Jesus used a stronger time each time he asked Peter if he loved him, a stronger term for love. And I won't get into that this morning for sake of time. I'll just remind you that the second time Jesus asked Peter, said, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me more than these? Peter said again, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. And Jesus said, well, why are you here then? Why aren't you fishing for men? Go feed my sheep. And again, I'm sure Peter thought, but yeah, I had an opportunity to stand for you, and I didn't. And Jesus was saying, Peter, my mercies are new every morning. I gave you a fresh batch this morning. I've forgiven you. Yeah, I wish you hadn't denied me, but that doesn't mean I'm going to throw you out. That doesn't mean I'm going to cast you away. That doesn't mean I'm going to stop using you. Get busy. Get back to what I called you to do. The third time Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? And I'm sure Peter was reminded of the three times he denied Christ. Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? And Peter said, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said again, go feed my sheep. I've got fresh mercy for you. I'm not going to give you what you deserve. I'm going to forgive you. I want you to get back to work. I got a job for you to do. I got men and women and boys and girls that need to hear about me. I got men and women and boys and girls that need to hear about heaven. I got men and women and boys and girls need to hear how I died for them. I paid the price of their sin. That I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. Peter, I need you to take that message to them. I need you to feed them. I need you to tell them about me so that they can come to know me too. Get off, quit fishing for fish. Start fishing for men. My mercy is new every morning. And I want to say to myself this morning, and if it applies to you in any way, you can listen and take it for yourself. But I want to say to myself this morning, I have a God who fills up the tank of my mercy every morning. They are new every morning. When I have failed Him, when I haven't stood for Him the way that I should, when I've gotten into sin, either in action, thought, or attitude, I have a God that doesn't throw me away. I have a God that gives me a fresh supply of mercy. He doesn't give me what I deserve. He forgives me and says, look, get back to work. Amen. Go feed my sheep. And so I ask myself the question this morning, as I ask all of you the same question, do you love Jesus this morning? Do you love Him? I hope you take the time to read the little story I put in the bulletin this morning about the man that was sick and dying, and he was worried that he didn't love Jesus enough and what his friend told him. And I won't take the time to tell you that story. I'll just let you read it. I'll just ask the question, do you love Jesus this morning? Before you answer, let me recite the song that's been rolling through my head and my heart 24 hours a day, it seems, this week. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear. Amen. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Amen. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Why? Because He first loved me. Amen. He loved me enough when I was a sinner. He sent His perfect Son to die in my place. He loved me enough when I was a sinner that he piled all of my sins on his precious son. And Jesus paid the price for not what he owed, but for what I owed. Amen. You listen this morning. My Savior died for my sin. My sin. My sin took him to the cross. My sin hung him there. My sin caused God to turn his back on his only begotten son. My sin did that. Amen. He loved me enough. He loved me enough to do that for me. By the way, he loved you enough to do it for you. Amen. For you. Do you love Jesus this morning? Do you? Oh, how I love Jesus. If you answer with me that same way, then I'll say the same thing to me and to you that Jesus said to Peter. Then get busy. Get busy. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. There's a world that's lost and dying and they're going to hell. There's people all around us that need to hear the gospel. I ran into a teenager at Myers this week. I was buying ice cream. Butter pecan. And they had the family size Hershey chocolate syrup on sale. So I bought two of them. And this teenager saw me putting these two chocolate syrups in my cart. And he says, "You can eat both of those?" I started to say, "What business is it of yours, bud?" But I said, "Yes, I am an addict to chocolate syrup and ice cream. You can tell by looking at me." He said, "You know what? I like ice cream too." I said to him, "Hey, since you brought it up, let me tell you something else I like. I like a lot. I like Jesus. I like the fact that he loved me enough to die for me." He says, "Are you religious?" I said, "No, I'm not religious. But I'm saved. And I'm on my way to heaven. And I know how you can get there too." He said, "I don't want to talk about it." I said, "Well, here." I pulled out a tract. I said, "Would you do me a favor and read it?" He said, "Well, since we both like chocolate syrup," he says, I'll read it for you. There's a whole world around us that's dying and going to hell. We have the answer. The answer is Jesus Christ. Do you love him? Do you love him? We ought to love him. His mercies are new every morning. Go feed his sheep. Go feed him. You're here today and you've never received Christ as your Savior. He's not only given you mercy, he's given you grace. Mercy's not getting what we deserve. Grace is getting something we don't deserve. Grace is getting the forgiveness of God. Grace is getting heaven. Grace is being justified. Grace is God loving us when we don't deserve it. He sent Jesus to die for you. He offers salvation to you this morning. All you got to do is come get it. Come take it. It's all he says, "With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." If you've never received Christ, we can take the Bible in just a few minutes, show you from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be your Savior. If you're a Christian, perhaps you've used up your supply of mercy the last couple of days. Aren't you glad that God has a fresh supply every day? I am. I am. I get to the end of the day, say, "God, don't know how you put up with me today, but I'm so glad you did. Thank you for your mercy today." I get up in the morning and I say, "Oh, thank you for the new supply you gave me for today." Amen. He does it for all of us. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for that mercy that comes new every morning. We don't deserve it. We're all like Peter. Some way or another, we failed you. We haven't stood for you when we should. We haven't said a word for you when we should. We've done things we shouldn't. We've thought things we shouldn't. We've had a bad attitude at times. But Father, your mercy is new every morning. And it's because of that we're not consumed. Thank you for that mercy. Thank you for the grace that sent your son to a cross to die in our place. I pray if there's somebody here that's never received Christ, you'll help them see their sin. You'll help them see the penalty for that sin. You'll help them see the price that Jesus paid on Calvary. And Holy Spirit, you draw them this morning to the Savior. You'd help them come make that decision to receive Christ. I pray for the many Christians that are here. Help us to never get over our salvation, to never get over the mercy and grace that was so freely bestowed upon us that made us right with you. Help us rejoice this morning. Help us to be busy feeding your sheep. We love you. Oh, how we love you. Thank you for loving us. Please bless this time of invitation. Speak to hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient to what you tell us to do. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.